It's Friday, September 2nd, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network, so make sure you visit techpodcast.com. Welcome to the show, everyone.
This is the Geek News Central podcast, part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. So grab a cup of coffee, take a seat, and crank up that volume. Because you're listening to Todd on the Geek News Central podcast.
Aloha, everyone. My name is Todd Cochran, the host of the Geek News Central podcast. And how is everyone? I know that I have just been totally enthralled with the events that have happened in the Gulf Coast. I know all of you that that live here in the United States have probably been watching a lot of the news and watching what's going on there. And we'll talk a little bit about that in a few minutes. But just totally amazing imagery coming out of there, and the devastation is just horrible. But anyway, for those of you that are tuning into the show for the very first time, make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com, visit the website over there. You can check out all the archive podcasts on the podcast link. Along with that, you can subscribe to our mailing list, which is available via the website. You'll see a link that says Geek Navigation, and below that is the podcast newsletter link. You can sign up for either the interactive newsletter or the twice weekly, and it was actually going to be three times a week this week, newsletter that I send out for show announcements. And plus, if you're signed up for the newsletter, you'll be eligible to win all the cool prizes that we're going to be giving away on our 100th show. We're going to talk a little about those tonight. And otherwise, all my long-term listeners, thank you for staying subscribed and being with us. Well, like I said, the events in New Orleans and the surrounding areas in Mississippi and Alabama, it just wrenches your heart out. It really does. And my wife and I were sitting down watching the TV, I guess, Tuesday evening, and kind of the brevity or the depth of the devastation there kind of impacted us. You know, you typically think when a hurricane goes through, there's going to be, you know, a certain amount of downtime and power, et cetera. But with the flooding and everything else and the havoc that this storm brought upon the area, it's just, it's beyond words, really. And I'm hoping that the people that are still suffering there are going to see some relief and the authorities get in and start making some things happen. It just looks to me like they've been a little slow, and it's kind of discouraging, but we're going to keep them in our thoughts. And obviously, I made a couple of announcements earlier in the week that Shoko and I are going to be contributing. Each person has their own charities that they look at. But I encourage you to do your part if you can, and contribute as much as you personally can afford to the victims of the Hurricane Katrina. We're going to give, Shoko and I are going to give to the American Red Cross. And let's hope that that the money that is contributed gets to the people that need it the most. Do your part if you can. Okay, it is first of the month, so if you feel that we are worthy, please visit Podcast Alley and vote for our show. I'll have a link to it tonight in the show notes. And their site's been up and down. I received some email from some people saying, "Hey, I can't vote for your site. It's not authorized in an email." And I don't know what's going on over there. Chris has got his hands full, obviously. But if the site's up, if you feel that we're worthy, please vote for the show. It's our one time a month that we're going to ask. And I do appreciate it very much. Ever since I shut off trackbacks on my website, it's been kind of curious what has happened. I've never before received an email from someone saying that, "Hey, I wrote an article about your site, and the trackback's not taking it." And I sent him a message back in an email, and I said, oh, really, where's your article at? Let me look at it, and maybe I'll just add a link back, you know, on the website for you. And the person came back and gave me a link to a website, and I went and looked at it, and sure enough, it was a spam weblog. They actually sent me an email, asked me how come they couldn't hit the trackback CGI on the website. I was flabbergasted. I couldn't believe it. But I have noticed that since that email, my comment spam is up. So obviously they quit trying to go in one way. Now they're trying to come in another. So these guys are evil that are doing this. And I don't know when it's going to end. I don't know if it ever will. Hopefully some better tools will be put in place in the near future to help us out in combating that. Okay, on our 100th show that's fast approaching, we are on, what show are we on tonight? This is show number 97. Tonight is 96, excuse me. Tonight is show number 96, so we're getting close. I've gotten a few more emails from people, and we're going to be playing some promos at the end of the shows for people that are actually going to be giving stuff out for the 100th show. I got an email today from artagogo.com/blog. They're going to be giving away some stuff. They are actually an item out of their cafe press store, so we appreciate that offer. My sponsor GoDaddy is going to be put a package together, so I'll know what that is here in a few days. We're going to be giving away 5 MaxQ CDs, and Andrew Darlow is going to be giving out some consulting, and Adrian Raymer is going to be giving away $300 worth of prizes. Should be a good list of prizes. That's just a few of them, but I want to thank everyone that's offered up prizes and services, and that's going to help us out to get you guys some cool stuff. And of course, I've got some good prizes that I'm going to give away personally that I think you all will like, and I'm not even going to announce what that is. Okay, hey, let's save yourself some money by reserving your place on the net with your own .com or other domain. And now at GoDaddy, each domain name includes economy email, a $9.95 value, free. That's your own personalized email account. Plus, my listeners get an additional 10% off any order. Just enter GEEK3, that's GEEK, and the number 3 as your source code. So thanks to GoDaddy for being a continued sponsor here. Hey, and I do want to say one thing, and you guys probably saw it on the website. There was I found it on a blog. I actually found it on the company president's blog that they contributed $250,000. I thought that was pretty good for a company their size to the Hurricane Katrina, to some charities. And then I compared that to some of the big companies who gave but $1 million. So I think GoDaddy did a good deed there and contributed a good amount of money. And we continue to be proud to be sponsored by their company and to be affiliated with them. It shows that they're good corporate citizens and are willing to give back in the hour of need. Okay, on September 3rd, obviously, most of you, you're going to get this on Friday. So tomorrow, which is Saturday, is when we're going to have our big event for our tech podcast, where we're going to be talking about all things RSS and OPML. We've got a pretty good show lined up. We had a meeting here the other day. We're going to have another one tomorrow night to finalize the agenda. So I think you'll get a lot out of it if you're going to be not traveling, if you're going to be saving some money by not driving with these gas prices the way they are. You can tune in at 1:30 Pacific for that. Here's the full promo for the event on Saturday. Mark September 3rd on your calendar for a special presentation by the TechPodcast.com Roundtable. We'll be using a revolutionary web conferencing tool called GoToMeeting to show you all kinds of new cool things, like the tips and tricks of Real Simple Syndication and how to use Dave Weiner's new OPML editor in a collaborative way. And also a hack that we have uncovered that will allow you to use the Microsoft Word Blogger plugin with any weblog. And get this, thanks to this presentation, GoToMeeting has agreed to let TechPodcast.com listeners try this innovative web conferencing tool free for 30 days. Just visit GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast to register for your free trial. Discover how GoToMeeting can revolutionize the way you hold online meetings. Try GoToMeeting free now and be sure to join us September 3rd for our special presentation. See the show notes on how you can be part of our live presentation. Okay, and if you get some time, hop over to techpodcast.com, sign up, or just visit the website on Saturday and I'll give you a link to how to get in there. Now, I did have a couple international listeners actually say, hey, what time is Pacific? Pacific is GMT minus 7, so that should help you out in getting the time conversion correct. Okay, I got a pretty good stack of listener email this time around, and one of them comes from one of the techpodcast.com hosts, and this is from Dennis, and he basically says that, and Dennis runs the Secrets of Digital Imaging at ImagingSecrets.com. You can check out his website at ImagingSecrets.com. But Dennis was telling me that we're talking about the camera and the X3 technology and how I got an email. Basically, I didn't know if it was a PR thing. But he says that Sigma came out with a camera using Fove-On X3 technology, and he gives me the link to it. And here's his comments. He says, while the technology was touted to be the next thing in digital photography, it hasn't as yet manifested. Very few camera manufacturers have adopted this technology, and today there's very little news about it. The sensor had some problems. It purportedly had real color resolutions. Excuse me. It purportedly had more real color resolution than most 6MP digital SLRs, but only half the luminance resolutions. The X3 sensor also had problems with reaching high ISO values. So, thanks, Dennis, for the information. I put a link up to his site and also the review that he has on this. And I appreciate the feedback. And you know, hey, I got a great group of guys over there that and ladies that have those type of answers for the good old geek here. And I want to thank Alan for sending me the list of cities for the EVDO, EVDVO cards for the Verizon service. And I did get some email backs from the rest of you talking about some other, you know, consider using some other carriers, etc. Obviously, EVDVO from Verizon is not available here in Honolulu, so it's really not an option. Because I'm here 80% of the time, and why have a service like that when you can't use it when you're at home, especially considering the cost per month? So I'm just going to continue shopping for a different mobile carrier. I got an email from Levi, and I want to read this to you because I think it's pretty interesting. It's in relation to the my shopping for a new mobile carrier. I want to mention to you, I just recently heard of a way of getting out of the one-year contracts. There's a service that you pay $20, I think, and you are paired with someone who is looking for a plan but don't want to sign up for a whole year. You probably have a family plan like I do, so I'm not sure how that would work, but maybe it would. Apparently, you can even hold on to your cell phone number if you do this, and there's a site called CellTradeUSA.com. It says, I haven't tried it myself, but it was mentioned on a Yahoo group by someone who used it successfully to get out of his contract when he still had 6 months left. My contract's over, so I don't have to worry about that. But I do think that's an interesting website, CellTradeUSA, and I don't know, I've tried to look around a little bit for some more information, but it makes sense, obviously, but I don't know how that's going to work. It's got to be endorsed by the cell companies in order to do that. Because they want to get you that $150 cancellation fee or whatever it may be if you decide that you don't want to continue. But anyway, CellTradeUSA.com, mileage will vary on that. I don't know how much validity there is to it. If anyone's ever used it, let us know. I'd sure like to hear about it. Richard sent me an email. For those of you that are using Firefox, you know, once in a while, you'll get to a website that you have problems viewing pages that work just only in IE. And I have a few websites that I have to go where I have to load Internet Explorer up. But there's a tool called IE View, and it's version 1.2.4, and it's produced by Paul Robb. And it says it can help a lot of users like me. Basically, it's for those of you that don't want to necessarily load IE, go down and find IE and load it up and cut and paste the website address in there. You can just use a right click with the Firefox browser and it'll launch up. So IE view, I'll put the link up in the show notes on that. Thanks, Richard, for that. I did get a message also from, got an email from Nikki. And Nikki, yes, we are going to be recording the video and audio for the GoToMeeting event, and I will have that available for you to view. I know you're moving into college this weekend, so good luck on that, and we'll save that up for you so you can check it out later. I got a message from Scott, and he's basically suggesting that since I talk about Robin Good all the time, that I interview him for our 100th show and produce a new segment. Well, I've got an email out to Robin to see if he's up for it. So, Scott, I'm going to take your suggestion to heart and see if we can get him on the show. I don't know what will happen, but we'll see. And John said, create a new opening for the GNC podcast, making a big deal about the 100th episode. You know what the most important thing is? Those of you that are with us right now, you guys already know that the 100th episode is going to be great. And I think you already know it's going to be a big deal. I kind of like our new intro. How about you guys? You guys like the new intro? The final email that I received this, since the last show was from David. He has been catching up on the shows, and he heard about my hard drive crash that I had with the laptop that ultimately died. And he talks about some disk cloning tools that he uses, Acronis True Image, of course, Symantec Ghost, which I like also. He also says that he likes a backup package called Second Copy 2000 from Centered Systems at centered.com. Hey, David, thanks for that info. Really do appreciate it. And you may have missed it, and you'll probably catch up to this show later, but that laptop died. It's in the shop with Sony getting repaired at this time. So, you know, all that work for mute. Hey, I've got some cool links tonight to go over. And I've been watching all this stuff that's been going on in New Orleans and in Mississippi and everything. And I found a wiki that is actually, it's a LiveJournal blog that is being produced by some guys that are up in a building. They're on the 12th floor of a building downtown. They've got generator power, and they're actually part of a group that is a domain name register. And they've been up there running nonstop, getting servers back online and a number of things. But they're actually working, you know, up in the top of the building, and they've got enough fuel to run the generator stuff for a considerable amount of time anyway. But he's got this amazing journal. It's been linked to a lot of different sites. It's livejournal.com/users/interdictor, interdictor. Obviously, I put the link in the show notes, but some amazing commentary in this. He's got some interviews, he's got some information, some pictures, links to for stuff for their employees. It's a pretty cool link. They've also got a link on this page to a site that's actually got streaming video links, all kinds of stuff, so that you actually can see streams that are going on downtown. Now, I'm going to put all these up. One of them is the company that's actually doing all the, is basically online and getting websites back online is Netcraft. And this was on the Netcraft website. And it says it's from DirectNIC, DirectNIC, direct, is it directnic.com? Yeah, directnic.com. And how they've been operating there. Along with that, then there is a wiki that's up that is, non-related, but it's basically a wiki, and it's labeled wiki.nola-intel.org, and it's got links to the police frequencies. It's got streams that are going on from, basically there's people that have got service, and they're getting data streams out of New Orleans. So this is all kind of great stuff here. So if you guys want to dig right into what's going on in the digital world in New Orleans, some of these sites I'm going to link up in the very first part of the show notes tonight are the ones that you want to pay attention to. Now, along with that, T-Mobile's announced that they're going to be giving free Wi-Fi across Louisiana, Mississippi, and Alabama to the end of the week. And what I don't understand, and it says, and possibly beyond that if the situation warrants, but I've heard they're going to shut it down today for free access. Now, if T-Mobile was smart and be a good corporate citizen, they would just let the free Wi-Fi continue for the near term, so that they can get so people can get their get connected and get message out to families and not incur any more expense. They're already been hurt bad enough as it is. So, but at least T-Mobile's doing that. And I just wonder how much service some of these people are getting if there's no power. You know, they're saying that 800,000 telephone lines or telephones are down. Usually, if you really think about it, those of you that have been in any major storms or major power outages, you know usually your phone works. But this time, the phone system has just been havoc. And they're, 800,000 phones are not working. And I did see where people were on the street in New Orleans actually using pay phones. And, since everyone's got mobiles now, or a lot of people have mobiles now, there's not that many payphones on the street anymore. And so people were lined up to use a payphone to call out, tell family and friends they were alive and okay. So it just goes to show you that the IT people that are out there are doing what they can to make things happen and to make sure that people that can get connected are. And to get the word out via weblogs, wikis, etc. Lots of great links for all of you to take a look at. Now, be nice to their bandwidth. I'm sure some of these services have minimum amount of bandwidth available, but there are some streaming servers that are picking up the original feed and then they're restreaming it via a different service. So try to use some of the restreams that are not necessarily straight out of Louisiana itself. Go out and hit some of the streams that are in Texas and other areas. So people are stepping up and helping getting the word out and the message on what's going on within New Orleans. Okay, what else do I have here? There is on Craigslist, neworleans.craigslist.org, if you are in a position to allow people to, basically if you have a place for people to stay, there's a place here where you can start listing where people can find shelter if you're going to offer that up. Room shares and sublets and apartments for rent, the whole nine yards. So just a row after row after row of listings. And I wish I would see more free rooms on here for people. And hopefully people open the doors up a little bit. Okay. All those will be in the initial show notes tonight. And I do have a pretty good amount of regular tech news tonight. I found a link on Engadget that talks about Panasonic's new, it's in the model numbers, DMR Tech EX200V. And I was like, oh, this thing is going to be perfect for some of the things I want to do. It's a VHS player, but it also has a 250 gig hard drive, a DVD burner, a 4-in-1 card reader, all kinds of, with lots of features. But the key of this is it's only available in Japan. So I asked my wife, hey, honey, when you plan on going home next time? So I'm going to look for this thing to be launched in the United States. It looks old school. It really does on the front. But if you look at the feature list and what it has available, this would be a nice little component to add to your entertainment system for copying stuff and, making recording of all the old VHS tapes, etc., and putting them to DVD. How many of you have heard about these new rollable displays? Just imagine having a device about the size of an iPod, a little thinner, and be able to grab each side of it and open it up and to have a screen unroll. Philips is showing this rollable display, and it's on Gizmodo. Very cool. I think it's gonna. You remember like on Star Trek where they were looking at the sheet of paper, and they were touching the sheet of paper like it was a computer. Well, we're getting there, folks. We really are. So this is pretty awesome. And it's black and white, obviously, or gray tones. It's not color. And when it folds up, it actually gives you a little mini screen. So this is going to be a cool little gadget. I think that all you geeks out there are going to be excited. Definitely have you guys check it out and let me know what you think. Now, there's some in the legal side of the tech world right this week is there's been more dark clouds on the horizon for Apple and the iPod. Apparently, Creative, who makes the Zen and Nomad jukebox music portal music players, earlier this month was awarded a patent for a method that automatically filed tracks according to a hierarchical structure of categories to organize tracks in a logical order. So, it kind of sounds like some of the things, that's how music is listed within the Apple iPod. So, there could be some licensing issues here that Apple may be faced from Creative. Now, what's even kind of funny is I found an article that was the very next article I read was one that was it talked about some problems that Creative was having itself. Creative Technologies has shipped about 4,000 MP3 players in Japan that has a Windows virus loaded on them. So none of those came to the United States, but they were all sent to Japan. Can you imagine you buy a media player and you plug it into your docking station and your virus alert goes off, or worse, your computer gets infected and from a hardware device you just bought? Oh, that would just burn you, wouldn't it? It's a it's infected with an email worm. So nice, really, really nice. For those of you that may not know, the IT Conversation website is run by Doug Kay, and I got to meet him in at Gnomedex. I actually talked to him a few times on the phone prior to that. Great guy, smart, very funny to be around. Great personality, the whole nine yards. And he's one of these people that just draw people to him, you know. And he is always in the business of interviewing people or having people that are creating shows for him interview people. But apparently, he has had the tables turned on him, and he's actually been interviewed himself. And there's a new interview up on IT Conversations where he's under the gun. Great interview. So I'll link up the IT Conversations link for that particular interview so you guys can check that out. I highly recommend it. Well worthy of the listen. I always keep an eye out for information about Skype, voice IP, those types of articles. And there's been a lot of comparison recently between Skype and Google Talk. And actually, Rob Greenlee and I had to do a recording on Tuesday for a client on some podcasting stuff. And we tried Google Talk initially, but there was some problems on Rob's end, and we ended up using Skype, so we didn't really get a good sampling of the quality of differences. You know, we're going to actually have measure that. To make a long story short, the crux of this article from Marco Evans says that Skype's secret weapon is because they have, since Skype opened its API in November, there's over 400 applications that have been developed to plug into Skype. So I found, I haven't really looked at the plugin list from Skype up to this point. I know every once in a while I see one that works with Skype, but I haven't paid a lot of attention to it. So I'd be curious to know what everyone is using, what kind of plugins that you are using with Skype right now. What do you find to be the most effective one? Which one's saving you the most time, money, etc.? They had a competition where a company created a pretty cool a plugin for it. I'll have the link to the article up here, and you guys can check that out. The name of the application at one, I guess, is called Jive Plugin. So, anyway, check this out. I think it's well worthy of a look, and I'm going to start digging around in the plugin list to see if I can find some stuff that'll help you out. And if you have one that you're using, let me know so that we can pass that on to the listeners of the show. Okay, a little bit of science news. NASA has discovered that their disaster simulation software is falling short. And this is all based upon the models that they build up for the shedding of the foam on the tank. And they figured their computer models had said that they predicted nothing larger than a 0.03 pound a piece would fall off compared to the 1.67 pound piece, which resulted in the Columbia disaster. But apparently, the piece that fell off on the latest flight with Discovery was 0.9 pounds, which is 30 times the predicted maximum. So obviously their computer modeling isn't perfect, and I think we all can kind of realize that without stretching too far on our ability to, you know, junk in, junk out, really is kind of how it works. But it's going to be curious to see how they're going to be able to recover from all of the, you know, the ongoing issues that they have with the foam on these tanks. And there's a little bit of more news about that too, because the facility that does the foaming for the tanks is located in New Orleans, of all places. So I guess the facility did not suffer minimal damage, but there's no access to it because it's surrounded by water. They can only get there by helicopter right now. So they're thinking, and in another, there's two or three articles today about NASA news, talks about the space shuttle may be pushed all the way out till May as the next launch window. So again, it would be almost a year between launches. So we'll keep our fingers crossed. And of course, I had seen recently a design concept where the actual orbiter, the return vehicle, actually sets on top of the rockets versus side by side in the new design that they're, you know, for the redesigned, or not redesigned, but the new space shuttle or supposed space vehicle that's supposed to come out in after 2010. So it's going to be curious to see how they work this all out, and I'm sure they will. But I'd like to see them get back to space before May 6th. But they obviously aren't going to sacrifice safety, obviously. Now, on the most silly idea of the day, Citibank has high hopes for high-tech jewelry. Okay, we all know that sometimes you can use your cell phone to pay for stuff, and it's really popular in Japan, where you just take your cell phone up to a vending machine, and you can push a few buttons, and you get your soda or whatever. And it's used heavily in Japan. Well, apparently Citibank is going to be sending out wireless-enabled money clips and jewelry next year. So these are going to be preloaded cash in a piece of jewelry. Sorry. And no, I don't think I'm going to be using. Come on. You know, does that, what do you think? Would you guys wear a ring that had your cash built into it? You know what happens? You know, someone's going to rob you now for your jewelry, and then they're going to be able to scan your ring or a necklace or something that you have on. I think it's pretty silly, but they're going to be aggressively doing this. So a lot of oddball ideas out there today. And of course, I understand where they're going. They're trying to make it easy for consumers, but I don't think that's going to happen. We'll see. Okay, on Tech Dirt, they have an article that talks about forget the digital home, give us an internet connection that works. And I must admit, I have to agree. My cable connection here that I have at the house is actually real good on the download speed, but the upload is just horrendous. And I've worked and worked and worked and worked and worked with a cable company, and they can't do anything about it. So I got fed up, and I was going to order DSL, and I must be in the last place of the planet that's in a metropolitan area that cannot get DSL at my home. And apparently I'm just a little bit too far from a switch. So I was bummed. Of course, the phone company says, oh yeah, we're going to be rolling. We're going to get DSL in your area within the next year. And because that was what I was going to do, is I was going to buy DSL service and cable and have it both, you know, both services so that I could, you know, get a little extra bandwidth out of the connections I have here. But it's not going to work. I'm going to be stuck uploading a podcast at a lower speed than I care to. And that adds time to my production, and that's what hurts me. But, oh well, got to live with it. So I agree with Tech Dirt. Forget the digital home. Give me an internet connection that works better. Give me more speed. More speed, Oceanic Time Warner. How many of you carry passwords to your computers and websites that you log on to around in your wallet? I'm sure a lot of you probably raised your hand. How many of them have wrote down on a piece of paper that's on a yellow sticky on your desk? How many of you have them hidden in drawers? How many of them use passwords that have just your kids' birthdays or something like that? I think we're all guilty for not having real good password control. And here's a question. How many of you use the same password on the same websites? You know, if people really wanted to, and then they found that they were able to hack your password from one website, how many, just by that website, knowing what website you had logged on to, what would that point them to towards getting on to other websites that you may access? Well, you know, I always have kind of went with the adage that, you know, probably carrying around in my wallet isn't such a bad idea, but, you know, I'm sitting here at the computer. It's probably just as easy to have them in an encrypted Word file, but that still is not the best. There's a service out there now, though. It's called Just One Key. It costs $2.50 a month. It's supposedly, and I'll use that word a lot, supposedly is more secure than carrying passwords on a piece of paper in your wallet. I would hope it would be, but with any other service, you're asking someone else to protect your data. But for those of you that are very forgetful of your password, this may be a service that you'll be able to use that will allow you to keep your passwords out there on the internet. And the only thing you'll have to remember then is a phrase. So you'll have one phrase to remember to get to all your passwords. Now, what happens if you forget the phrase? Okay. So Wired article, never forget another password. Okay, I think I've already talked. Oh, I did not. There's in Space Today, there's a amazing image that Cassini took of one of Saturn's moons, and I'll probably destroy the pronunciation of this. It's Enceladus, and they have discovered that this small moon has some activity on it that could be less than 10 years old. So they believe that there's icy material that's spewed out from the cracks on the moon itself, and it may explain some of the observations that have been made from Earth of periods when there's the moon is actually brighter. Now, the mystery is, and this is the crux of the article, it says, how the small moon has managed to retain the interior heat required to drive such activity remains a mystery. And I'm just wondering if it's more, you know, look, it's, you know, it's big next to Saturn. How big is Saturn? Could it be gravitational? It's purely gravitational and not interior heat. So I guess that's a question that they will have to figure out, and the big heads in space and science will have to run the math on that and determine how that's happening. And a very surprising article. It's actually not surprising, but apparently, the United States is deciding to start creating plutonium-238 again. And this is going to be for satellites and, what else, deep space probes. So they're going to, of course, it's going to be produced to make batteries, basically, for space aircraft. So, obviously, some of the treaties we have with Russia do not allow us to create or make plutonium-238 for weapons systems anymore. But, of course, there's a controversy going on with it's in Idaho, so there's controversy going on with Idaho residents not wanting any of the waste materials, which apparently will produce like 5,500 pounds a year, or 5,500 gallons of contaminated waste materials each year to produce this plutonium-238. They want it hauled out of state. So, let's see what happens. This is what you want to watch, and I guess it's going to be in a complex that overlies the Eastern Snake River aquifer, and it's that's the concern because it's one of the state's primary sources of drinking and irrigation water. So, okay, and I think it's for space use. I think it's good, and I think nuclear power in its utilization for creating energy is good too, considering the issues we have with fossil fuels right now. I think nuclear is probably going to become more popular again. Obviously, the waste issue is something that's going to have to be continued to be battled and consideration of. But I don't think we're going to have much choice at this point. You know, if we can't get the oil, obviously a lot of power plants are still coal driven. But we will have to see what happens. We definitely will. Here in Hawaii, all the plants are oil driven, so I don't think I would be against a nuclear power plant being built, but Obviously, it's something that has to be done at some point. And I know there's a lot of people on both sides of the fence on this, so it's a very heated political, you know, discussion. Over on Electronic Frontier Foundation, there is a great article, and this is probably the article of the day. And it's something that all of you that are subscribed to music shows probably should go and read. And it talks about the customer is always wrong, a user's guide to DRM and online music. Now, you know that Apple, Microsoft, Real Networks, Napster 2.0, they all have music offerings, right? And they all have their music that they sell wrapped up in some form of DRM. So in other words, you buy music from the Apple store, you download it to your iPod, it only allows you to copy so many times, it only allows you to export X number of playlists, so on and so forth. So what this does, what this article does, is break it down. It breaks it down into layman's terms, the restrictions of the music that you have just bought. And this is my big kick all the time. And we've talked about this numerous times on the show, where those of you that remember, you can go back far enough, that were, let's say, in the early 80s or maybe late 70s, you all had 8-tracks, right? 8-tracks obviously went out, and cassettes came into play. And then cassettes went out, and CDs came into play. Now, CDs are kind of on their way out, and DVDs and digital downloads are the rage. Well, how many times have you bought that Boston Live 8-track that you had back then? You bought it in an 8-track, you bought it in a cassette, then you bought it in a CD. Now the CD has gotten old, and you broke it or lost it or whatever, and then you've rebought it again as digital, as a digital download. So you've paid for that same song 4 or 5 times. That makes the artist real happy and the label's happy. But when you use these services like Apple and Real Networks and Napster, they restrict the utilization and how you copy that music. So I want you guys to go over there and check this out. It talks about the restrictions. It lays it out very, very clearly. And I think a lot of you aren't aware of the restrictions or what would happen if you cancel a subscription on one of the services. Personally, I don't care for DRM. Obviously, it's not going to go away because I don't like it. But there are ways that you can protect yourself and that you can kind of work around the system a little bit. I'm not telling you to go share music, but I'm also saying that you shouldn't have to pay for music 15 times, especially if you've bought it already. And it's just because the media type changed. So check out this Electronic Frontier Foundation article. Very, very good read. And I think that, and they actually give you some alternative here, some alternative places where you can go and find music online without DRM. I'm going to kind of highlight these real quick. eMusic, Audio Lunchbox, Bleep, that's bleep.com, and livedownloads.com. About a month or so ago, I had bought a monitor, and I had bought it used, and I was over at the gentleman's house I was picking it up from, and he had replaced all his 21-inch CRTs with flat screens, and he had them stacked. It was kind of like, but he had like 5 flat screens all stacked on top of one another. It was amazing. And I asked the guy, I'm like, why do you need 5 screens? He said, well, I play poker online. And I said, you need 5 screens to play poker? He said, oh, yeah, I have to play, you know, I play a couple of games in each window. And that's what he did for a living. He played poker professionally online. And that kind of blew me away. I kind of realized then how big poker was getting. And I had seen the stuff on TV, obviously. Well, apparently there is bots out there that are playing poker. So for those of you that play poker online, be advised that there is a scripts out there that people are running. These bots that are not just, you know, one person's running bot, multiple people running bots that are going on these poker sites, and you may be playing a computer. How would you like to be, you know, dealing with those types of odds? Okay, you know, where the machine has got preset stuff in it, knows all the rules, and it bets on preset limits and everything. You know, how can you compete in the long term over something like that? Now, apparently these sites that do this online gambling are trying to shut down these poker bots, but they're saying that it's just not completely foolproof. Some of the sites are saying, oh, well, there's no bots on our service, but according to this Wired article, that's not the deal. And there's sites that are out there that are selling this, these applications to people that you can run your own bot. It just totally blew me away. So, player beware. If you're out there doing that, player beware, okay? You might be playing against a computer. One of the people at your table is playing a computer. I've recently talked about Technorati and how I've become disgruntled with some of the search algorithms. PubSub's been kicking Technorati's butt here recently. And David Sifri has kind of responded to some of us that have been complaining about the index and the service recently, and how the growth of weblogs have completely outpaced their internal capacity to keep up, and how they're adding more and more servers daily to their server farm. So they are going to be looking at it very closely to try to get back up to the reliability level that they were at before. He does admit that it looks like they're a little behind in the search speed on some of, especially the Cosmos search, where people do URL searches to find who exactly is linking to your sites. They're going to work on that, and they've got some new stuff coming. So I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. Obviously, it's no big deal. I've got all my search terms in my RSS feed, but they're all the way to the bottom. They really, really are. They're all the way at the bottom. And I look at PubSub first. So I'll keep it, every once in a while, I'll take a look down there and see how they're doing. Now, additionally, they have announced that they've released a tool that's called the Technorati Blog Finder. And it's going to allow you to help find blogs on subjects that you're interested in. So if you're interested into horticulture, you can go to Technorati Blog Finder. Enter horticulture, and it will find blogs that talk about that subject. And it's all through the tagging process, the tags that bloggers are using on their website. So we'll have to see how that works. I haven't played with it yet. Okay, a website that I've been reading recently, and we're already almost at 50 minutes, I need to wrap up here, is John Battelle's search blog. I highly recommend you guys add this to your read list. Great site, great information. It keeps track of what's going on in the world of search. And search media, technology, and more. I find myself becoming a regular reader. He has been added to my permanent read list on my blog roll within my FeedDemon aggregator. All right, we're at 48 minutes and something here, and I'm running out of gas. Keep your thoughts towards the people in New Orleans. I know that we will be. Please make sure you check out the podcast that we're going to have on Saturday, or actually the live event that we're going to have on Saturday over at techpodcast.com. Please visit us and join us for that. Also, thank you for staying subscribed and being a listener of the show. As always, you can reach me at geeknews@gmail.com, or you can Skype me at Geek News Central. You can also call the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. I'm going to play some of the, I got two 100 show promos to play for you for some prizes we're going to be giving away. I have one promo to play, and then I'm going to wrap it up, and we'll see you on Tuesday. But here's the promos for the 100th show.
Hey, Todd. This is Andrew Darlow. I'm a digital imaging consultant and editorial director of Digital Imaging Techniques magazine. Congratulations on your 100th show. I think you've done so much to further people's knowledge of tech and podcast-related info, and the Tech Podcast Network has so many great shows that I listen to just about every day. For your 100th show, the big gala event, I'd like to donate a one-hour phone consultation to one of your loyal listeners. I specialize in inkjet printing workflows, color management, Photoshop, training, Mac OS X, setup and optimizations. It's a $150 value, and I look forward to speaking to one of your loyal listeners very soon. People can also visit my site at www.andrewdarlow.com. That's AndrewDarlow.com. I have a number of links to Photoshop, digital printing, and OS 10 related info there. And if some of your listeners would like to read a number of articles on imaging, they can also visit the site for Digital Imaging Techniques magazine at www.imaginginfo.com. Mahalo for this opportunity, and keep up the great work. Bye-bye.
Hello, Geek News Central listeners. This is Adam Raymer from Madtown Aces Audio Productions. We specialize in making podcasts sound better. We're proud to help Todd the Geek celebrate his 100th show here at Geek News Central. Todd's going to be giving away some great prizes on that show, including $300 in audio production services from us here at Madtown Aces Audio Productions. This is for all of you, the loyal Geek News Central listeners, just to say thank you and thank you for staying subscribed. I can't wait for the 100th edition of Geek News Central Podcast, and I bet you can't either. Again, this is Adam from Madtown Aces Audio Productions reminding you to podcast like you mean it. Now back to you, Todd.
Okay, for anyone else that'd like to contribute something, you can reach me at geeknews@gmail.com. And here is one promo for the night, and then we'll be out of here, folks. We'll see you on Tuesday.
Hey, have you heard about geocaching yet?
It's a lot of fun. Basically, you use a GPS receiver to search for hidden treasure chests called caches.
Most people aren't even aware that there are hundreds, sometimes thousands, of caches already hidden right in their city.
We've created a podcast about geocaching.
To find out more about it, go to podcacher.com.
Podcacher, the podcast for geocachers.
Podcacher.com.
Good night. Aloha, folks.